that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Well, good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live with the Wranglers here from the Radio Ranch. Kyle, what day is it? The 12th or something today?
Sounds good to me. Yeah, it is the 12th.
It is the 12th. I don't ever pay attention to that stuff. I used to, but anymore it's Saturday's coffee and Sunday's church, and the dates just kind of fit in there. But yeah. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning, Remnant, and we welcome you. We're going to have the phone lines open. Let's see if I can get that button pushed this morning. And 307-745-5913. And so if you want to call in, give us a call this morning, but we'll open up with a word of prayer. Kyle, you want to do that for us?
Sure.
First thing.
Well, God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you again so much for this day and this opportunity to gather in your name. Lord, we thank you for the rain that you give us and the sunshine that you give us, Lord. There's so much to be thankful for. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon us and within us and guide and direct us, Lord, not just our feet and our hands, but our minds, Lord, our thoughts, which will affect our hearts and our words. Lord, we ask for you to be with our families, watch over them, guide and protect them, and the extended family, your family, Lord, the family of Israel, your remnant. Lord, we ask you to watch over them, and protect them, and send your Holy Spirit down upon them. Again, we have so much to be thankful for, and we better thank you for the most important thing, and that was the Son who died on the cross for us. For without him, we'd still be lost. We come to you humbly this morning, Lord, and again, we just ask for your guidance and directions, and that you let us have a good day, a blessed day, Lord, so that we can be a blessing back to you. Take away our worries and our frets and our anxiety. Lord, we just come to you and and heed these things and know that we're going to receive them because we ask. Again, we ask it in the blessed holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And again, good morning. And partly cloudy here at the ranch this morning, and I think Noah floated by last night because we just got hammered with rain. How'd you guys do down there, John? Did you get this storm as well?
Yeah, we had some flash flood warnings and some really hard rain for a while, but then it tapered off. So good moisture. It's been nice not to have a fire season this year.
Oh, it has. It has. We last Monday we came back from town to just a big column of smoke up in the mountains and ended up with a 500-acre grass fire, but it wasn't too bad. And by Tuesday or so, the forestry had put about 3 airplanes and 4 helicopters on it, so they nailed it out pretty hard and got it just taken care of. So and they were able to do that because there weren't any other fires around, and they were able to kind of.
No, Mother Nature was cooperating, didn't you hear?
Yeah. Let me tell you, when we were sure praying as well. But anyway, didn't know if you had anything you wanted to start off with this morning, John, as far as world events or anything really going on.
Sure seems like the Middle East is on fire right now.
Man, they are just blowing each other up, sending rockets all over the place, and yeah, it's kind of a mess out there. But it normally is. It just kind of ebbs and flows, I think.
Yeah.
How about you, Mr. Kyle?
A lot of time to check the news lately.
Well, I don't know anything newsworthy, but I do know. Every morning when we get up, we're a day closer to maybe our individual judgment day, because as we all know, there's, you know, we lose people among us all the time as far as this life's concerned. But the times, it's like you said something to me yesterday jokingly, Richard. You said, I know you don't look at signs, but of course we all look at signs, and we better look at signs. We're told to look at signs. We're told to discern the signs. And whether it's signs in the Middle East or signs down the road from your house, there's signs everywhere that this earth, the way it is, this age, let's put it this way, this age isn't going to last.
Right.
And it's on the latter days. And I know you've heard, you know, people, if they are 300 years old or 500 years old, they've heard that being preached their whole lives. But I guarantee you we're a day closer today than we were yesterday, and the signs are there. I hope people don't take it lightly. A lot of times the young marrieds or, you know, the people in their early 20s, people maybe even in their early 30s, sometimes take it a little lightly because they're busy living. But don't get too busy living in this life because it's not going to last, and it's apparent. I think you brought a show Thursday night, Richard, on fire, and I think you said you read the scripture, how the Lord wished back then that it was already kindled. Well, it's being kindled. It's getting ready for that match to be struck, and you know, it's just like famines. I mean, there's physical, literal famines, and there's spiritual famines. And we are in a famine, and we're getting ready to be burned. And whatever that means to you, I know that means several things to lots of different people. But it's there. You don't have to watch the news to know this. You can feel it. You can feel it when you walk through your town. You can feel it when you're driving down the road, if you're in tune. I mean, and I'm not saying I'm fully in tune. I'm just saying that I can feel it, you know, and I hope people don't get too busy living. And that's what they want you to do. They want you to get so busy living that you don't pay attention.
To living right.
To live, yeah. to living right and seeing what's going on around you. So.
Yeah. You know, Kyle, I don't, you're not the only one with that attitude. We're working on our Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 6, and got a proof copy here in my hand, and we've planning on starting printing that on Monday morning. And a couple things from the mailbag in it. It was a note from Wisconsin, and just a part of it says, "Our Heavenly Father has to be just about done with this whole society and the acceptance of this filthy equality, no discrimination, same gender marriages." And so, you know, this person writing in from Wisconsin feels the same way.
That's a sign.
It is.
We're told that the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, it's a sign.
It is. You know? It is.
And judges are overturning the will of the people everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, they are. They are. And, you know, there was a, that was, that sign of Sodom and Gomorrah was used by Christ, I think it's in Luke, to explain what the return would be like, you know. And had another letter for the mailbag that we've got included in here from Connecticut from an 83-year-old man. Says, "I've been listening to Pastor Peters on shortwave for years." He mentions the recent Blood Moon Rising articles that were in Volume 5. And he says, "I'm fully convinced we are deep, deep into the end time scenario because all the current day events fit the prophetic picture perfectly." And I think he's right. I think it's just a double and a triple witness that our people, the remnant, are seeing this. You know, they're, you know, like you said, those that have eyes to see are seeing that, you know, the times, these times are upon us. Well, we'll have the phone lines open up this morning, 307-745-5913, if you want to give a call in and, make a comment, or if you have a question or something, and, we'll see what we can do with that. When you mentioned that, Kyle, there was a scripture that I had read the other night that came to mind, and it was about fire. And, you know, you talked about that burning up. You know, that same fire comes, well, to all of us. And to some it does burn up, and to some it just refines. Is that right? Is that the way
fire
to do it?
Fire purifies.
You
know? Yeah. It does, yeah.
In Zechariah 13:9 it says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." And so, for the people that, the way I read that, is for the people that are going to call on his name, the people that, and that doesn't just mean cry out to Jesus. It you know, there's more implied there. It means for those that are going to trust him, for those that are going to read his word and believe his word and apply his word and live by it and hold his word, the Bible, as truth. And let everything else be a lie if that's how it comes down. But the Bible is truth. And so, you know, if the Bible says that, well, that homosexuality is a sin, then guess what, brother? Let the president yell it out that it's okay from the White House, and let every state pass same-gender marriage. The Bible's still true. And it still holds true. And so what Zechariah is saying is, he says, I'm going to, you know, this third party, I'm going to bring this third party, and I think he means a third of it there, that they're going to come through the fire, but for them it's just going to be a refining. You know, it's going to wash away or burn away the dross, and it's those that call on his name that get through it.
Well, if you want good advice, and that was Zechariah, what?
13:9.
Okay, if you want good advice, and maybe you read this the other night, I don't know, but did you read Revelations 3?
You know, I stayed out of Revelations for a change.
Well, you know, it goes right along with that, you know. And it's, of course, to the Church of Laodicea. And we know the Church of Laodicea had a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were lukewarm. They weren't hot or cold. God wanted to spit them out of his mouth. Anyway, he gives them a warning. to repent. Because, you know, they thought they had it all. They were full. They thought they were rich. They thought all this. Well, and then in verse 18, the Lord says this. Of course, John's writing it down. But in verse 18, he says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich in white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. You know, and that what this is talking about is how important it is, especially when you stray, as children of God, or as children of the flesh, for your dads to chastise you and punish you for your good. And the Lord's saying here to this church of Laodicea, whatever that represents to you, and we know there's lots of different meanings of it, you know, but whatever that means to you, what it's telling you is you need corrected. And I advise you to go for to get that.
Yeah.
You know, exactly what it said there in Zechariah. You know, I mean, that's wise advice. You know, and we don't. Nobody ever wants that. You know, everybody wants to avoid their dad telling them, "Get in your bedroom, and I'll be in there in a minute with the belt," or whatever. You know, I mean, you try to avoid that,
yeah.
But it's for your own good. I mean, when you can look back as a, you know, I'm 52 now. When I can look back to my younger days, when I think of the love I have for my dad, I think of those times where. Maybe I even shamed him or just disrespected him or what. I think of those times how he loved me enough
to correct
to take the belt to me.
To correct you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we should, even though we're 52 or 83, you know, the Lord is saying, if you've strayed, you know, and there's lots of ways of straying, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire.
You know, there were some old men that bought that gold in Branson this year. You know, that even though they were old, they realized for whatever reason they needed to maybe it was a second or third time to get
put
it
on
right.
White garments. What, yeah.
But to put on those white garments. Let's go to the phone lines. You got the phone ringing. Hey, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys. This is Bob.
Hey, good morning, Bob.
You know, last week I had called and we spoke a bit about liberty.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, there was a passage in there that I had started, and I abruptly stopped that passage. I had started to say it. I abruptly stopped it because I couldn't remember exactly how it was worded, and it was too important to just paraphrase it. So, anyway, I found it, and I'll give it to you guys.
All right. Where's it at?
Hit 2 Peter 3. No, 2 Peter 2. Verse 17. And go all the way through through 22.
2 Peter 2:17.
Uh-huh.
Springs without water?
Yes. You want me to read it? Or
sure, go ahead.
Okay. These are wells without water. This is King James Version I'm reading here. Clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. This is it right here. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he bought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Yeah.
Does that not just so sum up state of what your ministers are, that's 19. They're promising them liberty. But look at what it tells you that this does, the type of liberty that they're promising them. This whole verse, it tells you how, what your end will be.
Right.
If it says you follow this way.
Right. That they are slaves of corruption. And I did mention that Thursday night, you know, that we are slaves. That's all there is to it. Now, people say, oh, no, I'm free, I'm liberty. No, you are either going to be a slave to corruption, like it says here, and that's what we're born into, slave to sin, a slave to the lust of the flesh, a slave to the base desires of man, a slave to corruption, like it says here, or you're going to be a slave to Christ. You know, you're either the world's or you're his. And this is under the subheading of the rise of false prophets. It's a warning from the Apostle Peter 2,000 years ago that, hey, these stains and blemishes, they come in, they're deceptions. They come in, what's it say above it? I've got it highlighted. Enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, daring, self-willed. It unfortunately, and we've seen it on the TV, we've seen it, you know, in our society, these false prophets, these people that we're not talking about the ones that just are deceived here. You know, I don't think Peter's talking about them, but he's talking about those that know what they're doing, that do it on purpose, that, you know, it says in the beginning, it says, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. And it says, their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. They know exactly what they're doing. And, you know, it's up to us to beware. It's up to us to be aware. It's up to us to understand that, you know, I think it ties in when the scripture says, hey, when they tell you peace, peace, don't believe them. Because they didn't get that from God. They got it out of their own, you know. They're promising you freedom. They're telling you peace. But it's a sword that's coming, and it's that sword of the Lord, and that God who is a flaming fire, as Hebrews says, and a consuming fire, that's what's coming. And that's what's there.
The last
thing I always do before I baptize somebody too, as I read those, there's three scriptures that I read that basically warn you. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, Hebrews 10, 26 through 29, and 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22, that, hey, if you're not going to walk the walk, if this isn't legitimate, if you're not truly repentant, then don't do it, because your judgment will be greater.
Well, you know, there's a passage that goes along with that also, where I think it was Paul says, do not lay hands suddenly upon any man. They're talking about the laying on of hands in baptism, because after that particular verse, then he goes into the sins of some men are not known right away, you know, et cetera, et cetera. They're teaching you to be cautious about who and how you give baptism to. But anyway, you know, last night the guys were talking about also about the law of liberty a bit. The perfect law of liberty. You know what that is? You know, there's the modern church thinks that by being in Jesus, that alone just gives you liberty to do whatever you want. But the perfect law of liberty is that if you abide in that law, you will have liberty. It gives you liberty not to do what you want, but it gives you liberty over death and captivity of Satan. It is by abiding in that law. And what is that law of liberty? It's the royal law. It's not the law that was given. See, it tells you in the Bible, the law that was given on Sinai is a law unto bondage. No, that law, the Mosaic law, is not the law of liberty. It's the law of Jesus, the rules of Jesus. It tells you in 1 John, 2 John, he who abides in my commandments. See, you must abide in the commandments that Jesus has given you. And what is that perfect law of liberty? What is that is that royal law. It's the golden rule. It tells you that. It's that perfect love. And understanding what that perfect love is. You know, there's a lot of people that say, oh, I love this person, and, you know, they have all kinds of sexual relations and this and that and everything else. And oh, I love them. Well, that's not love. Love is not hurting another person. And they don't understand how bad they're hurting people with what all these different things that they're doing. They really have not the slightest conception of what actual, real, true love is. They're confusing lust with love.
You're absolutely right, Bob. You know, because they've let the world and the Antichrist, those that deny the Christ, define the definitions. You know, the Bible talks about love, and the Bible, it does. It says, you know, when we share one another's burdens, we fulfill the law and the prophets. And that's what Christ said he came to do, was to fulfill the law. It's exactly what he did. So, well,
which
Bob,
is,
hey,
which is what happens.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Let me, Bob, we got another caller. We sure appreciate those comments, and thanks for that verse. And we're gonna try to get this other caller here. But thanks so much, Bob. We sure appreciate that. And go ahead, Kyle, and caller.
Well,
I'll get right
to
you.
Say when you obey that royal law, the golden rule, whatever, however you want to put it, you end up obeying the laws that were given at Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
You know, so all of a sudden, you're not committing adultery, and you're not stealing from somebody, and you're not murdering, and you're, because you have the royal law on you. You know, so it doesn't exclude, that law that was given on Mount Sinai was bondage, you know, because without the Spirit of God, you're gonna flunk. You're gonna fail every time because you're not gonna have that ultimate forgiveness of sins that you need. You know, but that royal law that you get on your mind and your heart that comes in the new covenant makes you fulfill the law that were given before.
Sure.
You know, so you end up doing the whole thing.
Right.
You know. Anyway.
Yeah, good point. Oh, caller, just have to call back. 307-745-5913 if you want to give a call back and talk to us. Or have a comment. And yeah, that, you know, Bob brings up a real good point there that, you know, these, and we should see these letters, these books as just what they are and take them personally. That, hey, this was written, you know, Kyle, this was written to me. This was written to you. This was written to Bob and to each and every one of us. And we have to look at it that way. And, you know, we read a lot of 2 Peter 3, you know, in verse 10, when it says the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. We, you know, but even later in that, he you know, Peter is coming back in, you know, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. You know, he did a lot of that, a lot of encouraging. Hey, now this is the second letter I'm writing to you. This is the third time I brought this up to you. And, you know, if the church that was formed underneath the Apostle Peter and from the direct apostles of Jesus Christ, if they had to be reminded two or three times,
you think that doesn't apply to us?
What
came to my thoughts, you know, is pretty simple thoughts, but while Bob was reading that scripture there in 2 Peter, is these ministers or reverends or whatever they want to call themselves, pastors, you know, they do preach freedom in Christ, and then they tell you, oh, you can't say that about the homosexuals. Or you can't say that. In other words, they teach you freedom and liberty in Christ as they're throwing chains around your neck and telling you, don't, you can't say that. You can't do that, you know. Now, like you said, we got to have a master over us. We're going to serve somebody.
We are slaves. We are not created to be out and to decide. But and see, that's how mankind thinks it is today. We decide your own destiny. You decide you. And see, what we've done is we've put ourselves in the place of God. No, we are either slaves to corruption or we are slaves to Christ.
Now,
and that's all there is to it.
Slave to Christ. Guess what? We're going to speak on the things of Christ.
The things of Christ.
You know, and so when a man who says he's spiritual or like I said, a pastor or something, he's telling you you can't speak things of Christ, that they're fulfilling exactly what it's talking about. They're throwing chains on you while they're telling you you're free. You know, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, good point. Hey, let's go back to the phone lines. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, gentlemen. It's Willis over in Illinois. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, Willis.
Good morning, Willis.
Hey, I was listening to your show the other night there, Richard, and I was going to call and make a comment, and I saw it was like 5 minutes till, and I know you had to do your closing and all that. You guys are talking about the law this morning as well, but, you know, I was been thinking about it, and it seems to me that almost without fail, every single problem that crops up in this country and with our people who don't know the truth and been told lies, is everything revolves around the law and the premise that the law has been done away. I mean, everything, our economic situations, the health situations, everything. It just seems like everything, the more I think about it, revolves around the fact that the people think that the law is done away.
Mm-hmm. That is, you know, I mean, it's hard to put a number on it or a stat on it, you know, which is worth faith only or the law. I mean, but that's got to be one of the worst thing that's ever came upon any land.
Yeah.
Is when you say God's laws have been done away.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
yeah. I mean, that's right. It seems like it's the biggest deception that's been pulled over the people's eyes is the fact that they've been taught that the law is done away, and you know that liberty that comes with it. You know, the more I think about it, I mean, almost every single problem that we have as a people revolves around the fact that everybody thinks the law's been done away.
Yeah.
Well, what goes along with that too is once saved, always saved. You know. For most of the churches, most of the denominations, got them believing that all they got to do is ask Jesus Christ into their heart, and then they're good.
Yep.
Go along, doing whatever they've been doing. They just bought their way to heaven. You know, just by So
yeah, good point.
Even Christ said that his doctrines were the same as his father's, you know, and people just, they don't even pay attention to that. And, you know, all I have to do is say, well, what was the doctrine of the father in the Old Testament? You know,
yeah.
it's the same as the fathers in the New Testament. But, anyway, I just wanted to say good morning, everybody, and appreciate the shows and the effort that you guys put forth and the time that you spend on the show. There's not very many people that would dedicate as much time as you guys do, and it's much appreciated out here.
Thanks, Willis.
Thank you, Willis.
You guys have a blessed weekend, and I'm going to listen in and let somebody else call.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye.
You know, Willis is right on. In Jeremiah 5:23, it says, and now this was a few thousand years ago, but it's still our people. He says, but this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and departed. They don't say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain in its season, both the autumn rain and the spring rain, who keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. And verse 25 says, your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good from you. And what is sin? Transgression of the law. It was in the days of Jeremiah 5:25, and it is in the days of July 12th, 2014.
Yes.
You know, if new scriptures were being written today, you know, the book of the Americas, it could just, you know, this is what would be quoted, I think, you know, because it's your sins, America, your transgressing of God's law that your false prophets have told you, oh, was nailed to the cross because it couldn't be held, and Jesus came to take that law and to do what you couldn't, and, you know, don't believe them. Bob brought up a good point earlier in the call. 2 Peter 2 tells us that very thing. They lie to you when they tell you that law was done away with. Christ himself said, I did not come to do away with the law. I did not come. He did not come to abolish the law. He says that. So you're going to believe him are you going to believe 99% of the preachers in the land?
And it crosses all kinds of denominations. They all teach that phony doctrine.
Yeah.
You know, if you want your house to fall, your city, your county, your state, your country to fall, take away God's laws. And it's just a matter of time. You know, I mean, I just flipped over here to, you know, and I
Deuteronomy 28.
Deuteronomy 28, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Blessings and curses. I mean, those are promises from God Almighty. He's not gonna all of a sudden, well, you know, I'm not gonna do that law no more. That's not the way our God works.
Right.
You know.
No,
it'd be required reading too, because you read that second part of that chapter, it's pretty scary.
Yeah. Well, you get 15 verses of blessings. And you get about 60 of curses. So what does that tell you? Yeah. Where's the warning? You know, where is, the warning? You think about that with our physical children. You know, we grow as parents, but, you know, you still you do your best anyway to hold your children to the, you know, your children that are older now with the older children, you know, the younger children to the same standard as the older. You don't change, you know. And you try not to anyway, and we're just fleshly. And, you know, but how much more our Heavenly Father? He says time and time again, He doesn't change. He's the same now as He was then.
Yeah. Well, look at where we're at. I just read this story here earlier this morning about a bank teller at a U.S. bank in Kentucky that was fired basically for saying, "Have a blessed day." Now, you tell me, when people go and complain about someone telling them to have a blessed day, that they're not a son of hell.
We are in the days, like we read in the letters from our new Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 6. We are in the last days where good is called evil and evil is called good. And we are in the midst of a war. It is like 1942 in this country all over again. We are in the midst of a war. It is a war, an all-out war on every aspect of American society, a war on Christianity. And if the people don't see that, then they are blind and dumb and stupid. That's all there is to it. And
there's those that won't.
There are those that won't. Oh no, that's religious freedom. No, that's a war on Christianity. And you know, you can go over to Psalms 83, and it says they all conspire together against you. And it's right. Jesus Christ that is who the you is.
The only one that could possibly be offended by that statement is the Antichrist.
Absolutely.
And that's from the land of abundantly blessed, Brother Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't New York or California, you know. No. This is Kentucky.
Yeah. You know, I spoke with a man from West Virginia this week. Been on the ministry for years, and he kind of said that same thing, you know, that, you know, 30 years ago, there was a young man coming, when he was growing up, a young man coming through, you know, selling Bibles and stuff in the summer, and he said it had to be 100 degrees outside, and so when he came to his house, he invited him in, said, "Hey, we don't have soda or even tea, but I got some cool water for you." And the young man, you know, thanked him and said, "Yeah, I've been to 15 or 20 places. You're the first person to offer me a drink of water." And, you know, he couldn't believe that. But he said now, and as we talked, he said nothing's really changed. He talked about how they had a storm last week, and a big tree fell over on the back of his truck. And he said he didn't even have a chainsaw to cut it off, to cut the tree off of his truck. And he said he had neighbor after neighbor drive by and look, and he said every one of them neighbors got big tractors with buckets and wouldn't take them 10 minutes to come just move the tree off. And he said not one of them said nothing about, "Hey, how are you? Can I," nothing, you know. And see, that's the state of our people. That is, and that's not in, again, John, in New York City. That's not in Denver. That's not in Tampa. That's in the foothills of West Virginia, God's country, we call it. The little small towns. And it's the people, you know, His people.
Actually,
their sins.
Obviously, they lack the royal law.
They lack the royal law because they do. It's the hard-heartedness.
Well, the world's hardened their hearts.
They have. And again, there's another sign. You know, what is it we read in the New Testament about that's a sign, the hearts of man will grow cold. And that is, you know, it's just the opposite of that royal law, but it's a sign of the times that we're in today.
Yep.
Well,
the good news is we're living in exciting times.
Amen.
Yeah,
Kyle, you got a scripture over there.
A couple things came to mind is obviously we're told in the Gospels, seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and because of this perversion that's in the church world, nobody even knows what kingdom means. They don't know that it means government with laws and statutes. I mean, they don't understand that, you know, because it's been taken from them. Yeah. They think the kingdom is floating up in a rapture to a cloud. Mm-hmm. I really think that's what they think.
And you know? They practice doing
you
that.
Know? And so, yes, you can't, you're not in the kingdom until you're baptized. We're told that in the Gospel of John. You know, that's how you enter in, is being born of water and of spirit. But that's just when you're born. I mean, that's just the very beginning, you know. And then you got to, you know, if you're still seeking first the kingdom, guess what you got to do? You got to, well, what am I supposed to do now in the kingdom? You know?
Yeah.
So you got to look up, you know. And part of the gifts of the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll just read one verse, 28. It says, All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? You know, but I guess the verse before that is where it says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, and third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations. And that's the word I want to zone in on, because I think the King James calls it governments. You see, part of the church is to tell you what's in Deuteronomy 28. That's called the administration part. That's called the government part. Hey, we're in the kingdom. Yeah, you've been born again of water and spirit. You're in the kingdom. Now here's what we got to do.
Yep.
Here's how you walk in the spirit, by these rules and laws. I mean, not by the letter of the law. That kills. But by the spirit of the law, because we're not perfect. That's why we have repentance. That's why we have communion. I mean, we have all these things, but all these things have to be brought together and harmonized, and it makes a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you liberty, and it gives you freedom to do, you know, obviously, you don't have all freedom to go to Safeway and do the things that you probably want to do.
Just like you don't have the freedom to look at a boy out there as a man and lust after him and do what you want to do.
Right.
You don't have, that's not freedom. That's not freedom of expression. That's not freedom of liberty. That's an abomination before God.
Absolutely.
You know, and so, yeah, there are, you know, when you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, when Samuel, I think, wasn't it Samuel that went to David? Mm-hmm. And told David, and there's many examples through the Old Testament. Those were the only names that came to mind, you know. But gave him the example of the one man who had the whole herd of sheep, and the other man that only had one. And the man that had the herd went to the one that had one. And he took the one he had. And David was incensed, and he said, "That man will be put to death. That's wrong what he did." And Samuel said, "That man is you." That was the government of God, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was the prophet of God telling the king, you did wrong. Isn't that why John was in jail? Didn't he tell Herod that what he was doing was wrong? It was unlawful.
And he was preaching the kingdom of God.
It was the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is law.
It's what's right and wrong.
It's law. Yeah. It is. And
there's been a stupor, and Pastor preached on it well, a stupor that you brought up a while ago, Richard. The blind and the dumb and the, you know, well, guess who that is?
Where is that verse at? Where is that at? Do you know?
In Romans, where it talks about a stupor.
You think that you're blessed, but you're filthy and poor and.
Oh, that's Revelation, Church of Laodicea.
Is it?
Yeah.
Let's go over there.
Yeah, he just read that this morning.
Let's go over there again.
But in Romans, I don't know if it's chapter 10 or what, but it talks about Israel being blinded in part, you know, and that God put a stupor over them because they didn't want the truth. They didn't want it in Jeremiah's day, chapter 5, when it says, when it basically gets down to the bottom line, and my people love to have it so. You know what I mean? I think Bill brought that out at Branson this year. And it's just like, are you kidding me? I mean, yeah, we are blind. We are stupid. And it's not coming from Satan. I mean, at least not on the Israelites. On the Israelites, guess where it's coming from? It's coming from their father who says, fine, you don't want me? You're not going to have me. You don't want my laws and rules? You're not going to have it. You know, I'm going to take it from you, and I'm going to give you ministers that pervert my word, you know, because that's what you want, you know. And it all goes back to what, you know, I know John Hound's on it all the time, and you can't hear it enough, and that's 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, we need to cry out, we need to repent, and we need to humble ourselves and say, it's our fault, and quit blaming the Antichrist, and quit blaming the different colors out there you want to blame, or your dad and mom screwed you up. Quit blaming things and blame yourself.
Take responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's where it begins. It is. You did read that, Kyle. I think you started in 18, Revelation 3:18. I advise you to buy from me gold.
Yeah.
It was right before that, you know, in 15, he says, I know your deeds. You're neither cold nor hot. And this is to that church of Laodicea. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. And so I think that covers so many that
I watched
are
the
just,
church
you know,
that I grew up in get spit out of his mouth. Yeah. Because they were hot. They were on fire. I mean, they had baptism down. They had faith healing down. They had so many things down that Pastor Peter's even taught. I mean, and they became full and lukewarm. And I watched, I actually seen where God spit him out of his mouth, and all of a sudden they didn't have the miracles and the healings that they always had had, you know, for hundreds of years at least.
Yeah.
And and what's so bad is the ones that don't have eyes, they don't even see what's going on. But all of a sudden they go from liberty, they go from all we got to do is, you know, say we're followers of Jesus Christ, and they don't give us any immunization shots because they had liberty. And, you know, they were faithful to God, and God, in return, was faithful to him. And they didn't have to go to the government of our land. They went to God for everything. And all of a sudden, all these things started changing because, why? Ultimately, because God was spitting them out of their mouth and saying, I don't like lukewarm things. And I mean, I don't know about you, but if I have a glass of milk, I don't want it to be lukewarm.
No.
It's got to be cold.
Same thing.
And if
coffee.
I have a cup of coffee, I don't want it to be lukewarm. I want it to be hot. You know what I mean? And so when you become like that, you're taking a chance of all those blessings that are promised in Deuteronomy to go away.
Yeah.
And then comes the curses. And then all of a sudden you have lack of miracles, and lack of healings, and deaths, and, you know, things that people are shaking their head going, why, why? Well, I'll tell you why. You don't want to hear it, but I'll tell you why. It's because you're like the Church of Laodicea. Anyway, sorry, I ran and raved.
No, good point. Absolutely.
Second Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Well, what are they trying to do? The Antichrists are doing everything they can to remove God, to remove Christianity, just like Richard said, from everything, because they know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But you can see that the Holy Spirit's being pulled back that door to salvation. You know, it also says in the Church of Laodicea that Christ is standing at the door. Well, that means he's about ready to close that door, the way I see it.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
you know, it is.
It's just a matter of time. I mean, time's running out to where, you know, you can be part of that marriage supper. And those with eyes to see and ears to hear will heed that call. And it's really encouraging to see even some men in their 80s that are seeing this truth and being baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ.
Humility.
I mean,
yep.
11th and 3/4 hour, but guess what? They still were out in the field and received the same gift that those that have been working their whole lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, that is such a hard concept for so many of our people to understand. You know, it really is. But it's the ways of God.
I think one of the biggest hindrances is what I'm finding, where people just totally rebel against the truth that baptism is salvational is that, well, wait, I had loved ones that died and they weren't baptized. I can't accept that.
Yeah, and see, what they don't realize is...
truth's hard to accept, but,
yeah, but
you better get it right.
Right, and you know, the Bible talks about that, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. You know, and to what little is given, little is expected. And, you know, hey, maybe baptism wasn't presented to them. I don't know. But, you know, because I've had that same argument brought up, John, but it's like, listen, it's being presented to you. You know, maybe Uncle Ernie didn't know about that. Maybe nobody ever presented it to him. Maybe he didn't know about it, you know, but it is you. And that's what I said earlier. These letters, we have to take them that they're written to us, you know.
Yeah.
If, you know, God knows the heart. God knows if, you know, what Uncle Ernie did or didn't do. And, you know, we don't always know if Uncle Ernie got baptized or not, you know, or who Uncle Ernie was, for that matter. And, you know, if he was called, he was called. If maybe he wasn't called. You know, you've brought that out several times, Kyle, that, you know, hey, you have to be called. I mean, that's the Bible says that.
And the gospel, the good news, is for the living. Once they're dead, they're dead. You know,
right.
You know, I fell into the trap years ago of maybe implying that people were going to hell that weren't baptized. That isn't mine to give or take. It isn't mine to say who's going to heaven.
Right.
It isn't mine to say who's going to the abyss or hell. You know,
right.
It's my job to teach the gospel, the good news to the living.
Right.
Whatever happens to the dead, that's in God's hands.
Yeah.
You know, and I, like I said, I've made the mistake before to where people are saying to me, well, what about Uncle Joe? Is he going to hell then? You know, I should never get myself in that position, you know?
Right.
You know, I should try, you know, I mean, they can go there if they want, but I should just teach the truth to the living, and if they won't accept it, then move on. But
right. Absolutely.
Just say, you know what, I don't have all the answers, but what I am telling you is what the Bible teaches.
Right. We were talking to Kyle and I were talking yesterday, and you know, when I preached my dad's funeral about 5 years ago, you know, I told him, listen, Papa was not perfect by any means, but he was forgiven. And he saw in 2002 the need and heard the call and accepted the call and repented and was baptized. And I said, he got his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I said, if you want to see him again, you have to do the same thing. It's as simple as that. And it is. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Now, what that kingdom is like, we have the kingdom of heaven is like, you can read all about that. You know, you really can. All through there. And, you know, it's and I sure can't add more to it than what it says. But there's also that separation of God. And that's kind of the opposite of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And we know, you know, again, these instructions, these directions are given to us today. We have those that have gone before us as examples to learn from and to learn by. And that's what, you know, that's what they wanted. You know, how many times did the pastor say, our pastor say, you know, learn from this. I don't want you to have to go through the same heartache I did. Learn from my mistakes. Learn from my refining, you know. Learn from my having this dross having to be burned off and that dross, you know, you go ahead and take care of it. And, you know, Christ tells us that in the, you know, we're to do that when we have communion. We're to judge ourselves. We're to go ahead and do that because if we judge ourselves, guess what? He doesn't have to. You know, the Bible says that all men are appointed to die and then comes a judgment. Well, you know, we can really turn that around. We can have that judgment taken care of if we judge ourselves while we're here living,
according
to the Word. You know, 1 John, and we're wrapping up here. 1 John 2 says, by this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him, meaning Christ, ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. And so we have the opportunity to do that, to get that judgment taken care of, and then we aren't lukewarm. We walk in Him. He walks in us. And we do the things that, you know, that are pleasing to Him. But it also means we hate the things that He hates.
Yeah, it also means, like John was saying earlier about, you know, those scriptures that he reads to those that he's going to baptize, about if you willfully sin after you do, I mean, that's part of the good news, because you don't have good news without having bad news. You
Absolutely.
Don't have love without having
right.
hate. You know what I mean? So you got to teach, you got to tell them that too. You know,
there's always two sides to the coin. You know, you know, you're right. There's never good news without bad news. But the good news for the good is bad news for the bad. There's no doubt about that. Well, you know, folks, we're wrapping up here at Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We do thank the callers that called in, Bob and Willis, and we sure appreciate those and the comments. And we know there's countless others out there listening in, and from sea to shining sea, from Alaska to Florida, and all over as well. And we sure appreciate that. We appreciate your prayers and support. We do invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. We're having church at the LaPorte Church of Christ, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 11 a.m. Central and noon on the East Coast. And so we do invite you there. You can join us at scriptures4america.org. That's the website that the live video streaming will be going to. Again, it's scriptures4america.org. And again, going to be a little different. We're trying a few little different things. And, you know, John's been bringing some very interesting little 10 and 15-minute tidbits. And so he's expanded that a little bit. So John's got the scriptural insight tomorrow and the welcome, and it's going to be live. So we welcome you to come, and to if you don't know John, you can come meet him in the morning. How about that? And so we're going to have that, and we'll have probably several songs, have a good song service. Paul has some good songs picked out, and Kyle, I think you're up for communion tomorrow, is that right?
As far as I know, yeah.
Good. So we'll plan on that, and then of course we'll all that'll we'll lead in and introduce you to a good Holy Spirit inspired message by Pastor Peter J. Peters. And so that's what we're doing. Again, we thank you for joining us. You heard Bob mention tuning in to the men last night. Hope you tuned in on Friday night to the Solutions program at 6 p.m. Mountain and 7 p.m. Central, and then Jason and Gideon's Armory at the 7 o'clock broadcast hour. And, well, I didn't even get through all my coffee. I guess I talked too much this time because I got coffee left over. I got to not let that happen again. Well, again, thank you for joining us. Remember, folks, that this ministry is supported, always has been and always will, by your tithes and offerings. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Hope to see you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.